If you've been coming along the last few weeks, you'll know that we have been thinking through what friendship with Jesus looks like, and we're going to stay with that theme today as we come around the table later on in our service. But I guess one of the reasons that I find myself revisiting this theme over the last month is that it's born out of, I guess, the sense that I have a friendship with Jesus myself. And on one level, that's a fairly simple thing to say. Many of us understand that, experience it. But sometimes the reality of that friendship and the familiarity of it can rob us of the profundity of it, the gift of it. And it has been perhaps the greatest joy in my life is to discover friendship with Jesus and to discover that that's not just in some kind of abstract, otherworldly way, but actually a friendship with Jesus, a walk with him that becomes part of a daily experience of life that includes all the stuff that is in my life. And it is my conviction that that's not just reserved for me. As a pastor, you would perhaps expect a pastor to talk in that language, but Jesus isn't bothered principally about that stuff. He is interested in friendship with all his people. Position doesn't come into it. It's about relationship. It's about family relationship. His desire to walk with you and I. His desire to teach us how to walk with him throughout all the different circumstances in life. And if I were to have my heart cut open, I can say that my desire, both for my life and for each one of us in this household of faith, is that we grow in our friendship with Jesus, that we come to learn to trust him in every aspect of our lives, with our family, with our finances, with our career, in our relationships, absolutely nothing that's left out. But I know for myself at least that that kind of trust doesn't come naturally, and it doesn't always come easily. It's something that we need to grow into. I've been walking with Jesus, following him for over 20 years now. And the deep level of trust that I feel that he's helped me help nurture in my life has taken all those years to develop. That's not to say that it needs to take that long, but my point is that, like many relationships, deep and abiding relationships, there needs to be a time commitment, an investment into it that needs to stretch not just a couple of weeks or a couple of months, but into the decades. And the thing is that I have learned following Jesus now for 2+ decades is that he is a dependable friend. He is a trustworthy friend. And that investment into that friendship is the best thing that I have ever done. But it starts small. Jesus says that the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed. It's the smallest of all the garden seeds, and it grows into a tree. That actually doesn't happen. If you're a gardener, you will know that a mustard seed does not grow into a tree. What's Jesus talking about? Is he being a little bit like me and talking about things that I don't really know about half the time? Or is he saying that actually he has a strength and a power to do something that is ordinarily impossible and to make that thing possible? Something great and large and all-encompassing starts from something small. That is what we can agree on. And a friendship with Jesus kind of starts like that. A deep and abiding trust in him starts with the very smallest of details, the very smallest acts of faith. They're not lost on him. They're not irrelevant. Actually, they are like that little mustard seed that needs nourished and nurtured. It can grow into something that is mighty. And I find that the small commitments we make to walk with the Lord can have a hugely impactful influence on all the very various elements and aspects of our lives. Over these last three Sundays, I've been trying to say two things, and the two things are actually just one thing, really and truly, but that Jesus desires friendship with us, with you and I, irrespective of who you are and where you're at in life. But I guess rolling out of that principle desire that I think he's trying to communicate to us is a commandment to us, an exhortation to us, is not to break friendship with him, but to prioritize our walk with him in everything that we do. And I guess if I can boil it down to one statement in three words that I think that you might be able to remember over the next month or two, the exhortation is this: connect with Jesus. Get connected with Jesus. Out of the multitude of words that have poured out of my mouth over the last few months, if you remember nothing, remember that. Connect with Jesus. Connect with Jesus. Now, the text that we have been using as a little bit of a guide over the last few weeks is in John chapter 15, and we've looked at a number of different verses and passages throughout that particular text. That in itself is a worthwhile thing for you to take away with you. Go and read that chapter for yourself. Ask the Lord to speak to you and to minister to you and to strengthen you through his words. But we've used this text for the last couple of weeks. And I guess that this particular passage here can answer a question for us, and it is a good question. Why do you and I need to connect with Jesus? Why do we need to grow in friendship with him? Well, perhaps Jesus says it best in his own words. He says, "I am the vine and you are the branches." That in itself is worth thinking about, the relationship in the natural world between a branch and the vine. There is an order in importance. There is a life flow, one from the other. And it goes from the vine to the branches. And Jesus has a promise here. If you remain in me as a branch remains in the vine, and I in you, you'll bear much fruit. We could look at the significance of that word fruit in its biblical context, but it is about human flourishing. It is about leading you into all that he has made you to be and called you to be. Apart from me, you can do nothing. In the same way that a branch broken and disconnected from the vine, it's not going to bear fruit, is it? Well, so too you and I, cut off from Jesus. We can't do anything, he said. If you do not remain in me, you're like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. I don't want to explain away the significance and the impact of those words. I just want to let them hang there and encourage you to revisit them yourselves when you are able to. But my assumption is this, that amongst the many reasons why you might find yourself to be a part of our church is that you were at least open to connecting in friendship with Jesus. You probably come here for a number of different reasons. The worship and the music. Yeah, most of you probably like that there. The preaching, well, that speaks for itself, doesn't it? Maybe you're connected in relationship and you like the folks who come along here. We are a fairly welcoming bunch of people. You get some tea or coffee after the service. What's not to like about that? But maybe in the midst of all of that, you begin to open yourself up to the prospect of friendship with Jesus. You want to give it a go. Some of you have been walking in friendship for years. Some of you, you're at the peripheral edge. But you're open to connecting with the Lord, walking in friendship with him. Well, if that is the case, then I think that one of the most important questions that we can ask and try to answer in relation to this series is, how do I connect with Jesus? What does a friendship with Jesus actually look like? What is my part? What can I actually do to foster and build that connection? If you're perhaps at the outer edges of friendship with Jesus and you're looking to take those first steps, then that's a great question to ask. Another question slightly like that, maybe for some of us who have been around the block a little bit longer. It's a similar question, but slightly different. How do I stay connected with Jesus? It's a slightly different question with a slightly different emphasis, but one that is worth asking as well. And I express it like that because I happen to think that the main danger to our ongoing connection with the Lord, our ongoing walk with the Lord, our friendship with the Lord, isn't necessarily the big things like losing faith and belief. It's not necessarily things like moral failing where we know that we are doing things that wound him and grieve him. Not to downplay any of those things because they are a real danger and things that from time to time we all have to deal with. Those things do break relationship and friendship with the Lord. But I happen to think that the main danger is simply drifting out of relationship with him, simply drifting out of friendship with Jesus, of not taking the necessary time, care, and attention to nurture and sustain that friendship. I notice in my own friendship and walk with the Lord that at least 3 to 4 times per year, I drift out of friendship with the Lord and I have to reset myself in relation to him. For many reasons, some that are predictable, some that are less predictable, I find that I enter into a season where the closeness of my friendship with Jesus has just drifted out of sync one with the other. And so therefore, I need to reset myself. I need to reinvest purposefully in that friendship. Because the more that I let it go and the more that I let it drift, the less impact the Lord has in my life. And that's bad news, particularly for me, and particularly for those who depend on me in any way, shape, or form. It's not good news for my wife, because I'm not a great version of myself if I'm not walking daily with the Lord. It's not great news for my work, because the Lord helps me day by day with it. So I need to get reconnected with the vine. I'm only a branch. It's not good news for a branch to cut itself off from the vine. And it's not good news for a follower of Jesus to disconnect oneself from the source of that friendship. Now, when I feel that I have drifted, I have a couple of things that I go back to, simple things that help reset the friendship in my life. And one of them is something that's called the prayer of examine. This is an ancient prayer. It's been around for 500 plus years. But quite simply, the prayer of examine is a simple 4-part prayer that focuses on encountering Jesus in the everyday circumstances of our lives. It doesn't try to ignore those things. Prayer isn't somehow about getting disconnected from the things that are taking place in your life on a day-to-day basis. It's rather, it's taking that stuff into prayer, into relationship with Jesus. And this prayer of examine is an exercise. It's a prayer that helps, certainly in my experience, it's helped me reconnect the stuff of my life in friendship and conjunction with Jesus. Now, we shouldn't be surprised. I think in perhaps our tradition, our so-called free church tradition, we tend to not necessarily see the importance of prayer guides, of instructions on prayer. Sometimes, and you'll hear me say this sometimes, just talk to Jesus. But actually, we need instruction in prayer and in friendship with Jesus. It's something that we should expect to have to learn. It doesn't happen naturally. But this prayer of examine is primarily an exercise in remembering. It's a daily thing that looks back over the past 24 hours and invites us through 4 parts, through presence, gratitude, review, and response, to concentrate on experiences and encounters from the past 24 hours. That's the thing. It's the daily walk with Jesus. Now, the beauty of this particular practice is its simplicity. And it's more of a guide than a prescription. And it's important for me to say that because sometimes, if you're like me, the type of person that I am, if I get a guide are a set of instructions. I tend to follow them slavishly, right? Must get through this, must do this, and quite quickly, an exercise like the prayer of examine that is designed to foster and nurture connection and friendship with Jesus becomes something a little bit rule-bound. So you've got to let it flex a little bit like a bamboo stick that's supporting the growth of a flower or a plant in your garden. The main point isn't that the bamboo is cared for and taken care of. The main point is that the bamboo can flex and bend in order to nurture the life of the plant or the flower that's using it as a source of strength. So this prayer of examine, it's a guide, it's not a prescription. And you've got to be able to feel free to play about with the various elements of that prayer. The purpose is to foster connection or reconnection with Jesus, not to finish or accomplish a task. So that's a little warning. If you're a little bit like me, where you like to tick off the to-do list and you like to get things done, there's nothing wrong with that. Just don't allow that to overtake the importance of what the exercise is about, friendship with Jesus. Now, at the end of the message today, I'm going to issue you a little bit of a challenge to go and try this. I'm going to walk you through it today. I've asked a couple of the guys if they would just go and grab one or two things for me, if you would do that now. But at the end of the message today, I'm going to issue you a challenge to try this prayer examine for the next 7 days. That's it. Just give it a go for the next 7 days. If at the end of the 7 days it's not doing you any good, then don't worry about it. Nothing ventured, nothing gained. But before I do that, and I've got copies of the guides to this, you don't need to take notes. You don't need to worry about remembering things. I've got everything on paper for you today. You can grab that after the service, or I can get you a digital copy if you would prefer to use it on your smartphone or your tablet. But the first aspect of the prayer of examine is it's recognizing presence, okay? It's recognizing presence. So I'm just going to take you through simply how I use this prayer, okay? Now, I spend most of my time here at church. One of the reasons is because I work here. Thank you, Eddie. Thank you, Tim, as well. Just along this side of the church, for those of you who don't know, are our offices. So we have four offices there. And perhaps more than anything, with the exception of my bed, perhaps, I spend more time in that office than I do anywhere else. And because I'm an introvert, I love it, because I don't have to share an office here. I have my own office. I have to say, that's not because I'm thought of as particularly important. It's more so from the point of view that nobody wants to share an office with me. And I have no problem with that, to be honest. I deliberately eat, you know, like really, really smelly soup and stuff so that nobody wants to share a space with me. I don't really do that there, but I do like soup. Soup's my kind of go-to when it comes to lunch. But this is, I'm trying to give you a little bit of a feel for the shape of my life, okay? So this is the layout of my office, okay? So I have, excuse me, two chairs in my office. This little chair that sits beside my desk, and then this chair is my desk chair. And so I sit at my desk. My desk is bigger than this one, okay? Because I'm worthy of a bigger desk than this. Do you know what I mean? I've actually got a desk. It wraps around. I love big desks. Desktop space is one of my great joys in life. I love having loads of desktop space. And when I sit in this chair, I feel like I'm in control of things. Buy, buy, buy. Sell, sell, sell. But often, this is the way I'm seated. Yeah, I'm seated and I'm working on my computer. And perhaps for lots of you, you're not dissimilar in that respect. Work has become a little bit like this. Not exclusively, but lots of us increasingly spend time set like this. This is where I spend most of my working life in this position, seated, working away, getting my work done. And when I sit on this seat, I perhaps feel in control of things. I don't know why I feel like I'm in control of things, as if somehow I'm the big boss and anybody does what I ask them to do, but it gives me a sense, probably an insecure sense of being in control. But it's where I do most of my work and spend most of my time set like this. And when it comes to the prayer of examine, this four-part prayer, the first movement is simply presence. Now, I can get embroiled in my work, and in fact, that's a good thing. The Lord's given me certain skills and abilities to get on with work and to get things done, as he has for us all. Yeah, he's gifted us and graced us in all manner of different abilities and insights and gifts to get stuff done. And I want you to be thinking now about what is your equivalent. Lots of you will not spend time behind a desk. Your day-to-day life and your day-to-day work, it might involve being out on the road. It might involve more face-to-face meetings with people. It might be a sales job. It might be actually that you're at home raising a family and your work is more about syncing up with the routines of an infant, for example. The stuff of your life might be the other end. It might be retirement. I have no idea what retired people do. I pray that one day I will find out what it's like, but I'm not convinced. But I'm pretty sure that retired people don't sit around all day watching Jeremy Kyle or the likes. No? Some people are laughing at that there. But when it comes to this first element of the prayer, quite simply, the presence aspect of the prayer of examine is just simply recognizing God's presence with us. Okay? God's presence with you wherever we are. But for me, what I find helpful is to stand up, move myself from a position where I feel like I'm in control or my place of work, and I simply just move myself to the side of my desk and sit down on another chair. In fact, sometimes I move this bigger chair here out in front of me, and in my own mind, what I'm kind of saying is, Lord, when I'm sat here, I feel like I'm in control. I think that I'm the Lord of my own life and work. But I want to simply acknowledge that actually you are. And sometimes I wheel it in front of me. I'll sit down on this chair. I wheel that chair in front of me, and as an exercise in imagination, I just imagine that the Lord's sitting there with me. And prayer is, in a sense, to a degree, an act of imagination. Not that you have an imaginary friend, but you have to engage your senses in some way, shape, or form, and go with what works for you. If that becomes a bit of a gimmick, don't do it. But the point is that we each have daily routines and rhythms, and I've got to work with the contours of my life, and therefore I work around the routines and the rhythms of my life and be deliberate in taking time out, perhaps in the morning, perhaps in the middle of the day, perhaps around 5 o'clock when I'm coming to the end of my day's work. But you might find it helpful to just simply sit quietly. I use my alarm on my phone. I know that I am not that important, that I can't sit quietly somewhere for 10 minutes. The world keeps on turning if I unplug for 10 minutes or 15 minutes. And I just let myself be quiet. I don't try to force the thoughts in my mind, but I just allow them to run to the Lord. I give them to him. The prayer of examine isn't about saying the stuff of your life, however important or however trivial it is, that's the stuff you want to bring into friendship. It's the stuff that you maybe chit-chat with your own friends. Pull all of that stuff in. At the moment, I'm using a little mantra to help me just acknowledge the Lord's presence with me. And it's simply this: God is always present. What is lacking is our awareness. Sometimes I say it quietly, sometimes I say it out loud. Lord, you're always present with me. What is lacking is my awareness. And I conclude the section, and again, this is a prayer that's in the guide that's available today. But this simple prayer, gracious God, in these moments, remind me of your presence and generosity, and give me the wisdom and courage to live gracefully with myself, others and the world you have wonderfully made. For the sake of Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Amen. And just run through it. It's as simple as that. The strength of this, though, isn't doing it as a one-off thing once a month or twice a month. It's weaving it into the daily rhythm of your life. But having done that, I move on to the second portion of the prayer, which is gratitude, giving thanks. And the guide comes with a few little prompt questions that help me think through and identify things that I can bring to mind to give simple thanks for. So looking back over the past 24 hours, what are you most grateful for? What makes you feel thankful? And then using simple words, express your gratitude to the Lord. So I sat down, I've been doing this for the last week because I felt like I needed to reconnect in friendship with the Lord. And back on Thursday, for example, I had a morning meeting with somebody, actually with Rebecca. Rebecca, who's playing violin today, we had to meet to do a little bit of planning. We met for a cup of coffee in town. And I come back, and at about 12 o'clock, I just got out of my chair, sat down on my seat, and I simply give thanks for a good meeting. Good meetings are good. There's something to give thanks for. Life is full of sometimes bad meetings, or meetings that you don't want to be a part of. When you have a good one, it's worth just saying, Lord, thanks for that. A simple prayer of blessing over her household. Thank you for Yinch. Thank you for Rebecca. Thank you for Jonathan, who's in Florida at the moment with NASA. That's something to be thankful for as well. And for Natalie. I also then at that moment have sensed that life has been a little bit out of sync for me this last 2 to 3 weeks. A couple of things going on. My health hasn't been great. I come down with man flu. And man, you will know that's not a trivial thing. That is a serious thing. Women, you will never have experienced man flu. And there's nothing that compares to it. So don't be making fun of it. And if your man has come down with man flu, you treat him well. You get him dosed up in vitamin C and anything else that he wants, actually. But over the last couple of weeks, I'd asked, Lord, can you help me get over this here? Because I'm just low on energy, and it's frustrating me. And Lord, can you help just put my life together and back in sync? And on Thursday, I just sat down and thought, actually, Lord, I'm feeling healthier, I'm feeling stronger, and I'm feeling life is just back in sync. Thank you. And I mean, it's as simple as that. What I've just said there now is what I prayed. And that was it. Done and dusted. And then I move on to the third section of the prayer, which is the review. And in the review, all you're trying to do is to look back as objectively as possible over the last 24 hours. It's not a time where you're trying to justify or interpret what's going on. It's a simple acknowledgement of what's going on in your life, what's going on in your mind, what's going on with your work, what's going on in your relationships. It's just naming those things. It's not trying to say whether you're in the right or you're in the wrong. I know for myself, again, when I think back to my exercise on Thursday, there's a couple of things that have been playing around in my mind. Are any of you like that there? You get a thought that's like one of those Hornby trains that keeps on going round and round and round, and you can't get any kind of closure on it. That's been happening with me the last few weeks, and I felt the Lord say, stop, enough is enough, hand it over to me. I'm like, that's it. And I haven't been able to do it. And sometimes I've been actually deliberately not doing it. I've been deliberately fostering the thoughts. And in that moment, this moment of review, I'm not trying to say, but Lord, and I'm right to do it because I need to do this here, etc. I'm not trying to explain that away. I'm simply just acknowledging the reality of those things. Now, it could be 101 different things. There's no limit on the review. But there are some questions with the guide that help bring those things to mind. When in the past 24 hours were you cooperating most fully with God's action in your life? It's not just about bad things, it's about affirming the good things and asking Him to affirm you at moments where, yes, you have been walking with me, you have been obedient. At other times where perhaps, and quite often we know this, and the more that we walk with the Lord, the more we are aware, almost intuitively, of where we're resisting Him. What habits, life patterns do you notice from the past day? And we simply name them. And then the guide leads us in a prayer from Psalm 143. Show me the way that I should go, for to you I lift up my soul. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. May your good spirit lead me on level ground. Now, you mustn't feel like you have to do that prayer, but sometimes having a written prayer helps. It helps me, certainly. It helps me express what needs to be expressed, to pray what needs to be prayed. And I happen to think that that is some good prayers going on right there. And finally, the fourth section is response. Having spent time remembering, it seems natural to want to respond in some way. That could be in giving thanks. It could be asking forgiveness. It could be expressing gratitude, acknowledging the attitudes and feelings that you have become alive to as you do this on a day-to-day basis. But remember, this is a guide. It's not a prescription. And I know that for me, sometimes I don't even get past the first section. I just need to use the time to center myself and just to become aware that actually I'm stepping into the day. I try to do this earlier in the day, but just to acknowledge that I'm stepping into the day with the Lord. And it's enough to take 10 to 15 minutes of just quiet to acknowledge that. This is a guide. It's to acknowledge that Jesus' presence is with us. It's to express our gratitude to him. It's to review our walk with him. And to respond to his guidance. And sometimes he'll have stuff to say. Sometimes it's nothing to say. You're doing well. You're walking with him. And that is enough. But I'm maybe just going to ask the guys if they would move this stuff off the platform. But having said that, the next question, and the question I want to give you a little bit of time to think through, is what do you need to do? What do we need to do in response to this? I did say at the beginning of the sermon that I was going to challenge you to try and do this for the next 7 days. To take, whether it's 10, 15 minutes to walk through this exercise and to make a commitment in your heart to do it for the next 7 days. No more than that. But for the next 7 days, that you would take some time out on your day to do this prayer of examine. And if you're thinking to yourself, actually, that is a good thing to do, that's something that I should do, then determine in your heart to do it now. So think through, what is the equivalent space to my little impromptu desk layout and office layout? What is it for you? It could be on a busy ward. It could be in a factory. It actually could be in your living room before you leave the house in the morning, or what you return to in an evening. Perhaps when the kids have been put to bed and stillness has come and emerged from the storm, that's the moment for you. But when would that moment be? Capture it now. And what I'm going to ask you to do is to get your phone out. Most of us keep our phones on us. That you would set a recurring alarm for the next 7 days, that the alarm will go off at that time. Could be 12 o'clock. It could be that actually you're going to get up 15, 20 minutes earlier in the day. Get your phone out. Think through what that time is and set a recurring alarm on your phone. Almost all the words and prayers that I've used today, I have printed them out on these little guides. So get one before you go. If you think that's going to be helpful for me, make sure you pick one up before you leave. If you would prefer an e-copy, I can send you a PDF of it. What I'm going to ask you to do, and again, if you've got your phones on you, that you will send me a message right now that says, email me a copy of that. My email is stefan@, and Stefan is spelled S-T-E-F-A-N, not S-T-E-P-H-A-N. stefan@thepeopleschurch.org.uk. Do it now, because once you leave, you'll not do it. That's just psychology. But if you want a copy of it and you prefer a digital copy because you'll use your smartphone or you'll use your tablet, then do that now. Send me a message right now. Or I can even WhatsApp it to you. Some of you will have my mobile. Just put a little WhatsApp message through and I'll send it back. I'm not going to give you my mobile number out in public, though. Not that I don't trust you, it's just I don't like it having it out there. But do it right now. Get that alarm sent. And we're going to move into communion now. I'm going to ask the band if they would perhaps make their way to the front. And if the servers would also make their way to the front. I do hope and pray that that has been helpful. I don't take it for granted that we know how to walk with the Lord. Sometimes we just need a practical steer. I know for sure I've been helped in that there, and people teaching me different approaches to that. But we come back to the source, the motivation. Why are we looking to do this? Why would we take out 10, 15, 20 minutes a day to walk with the Lord? Well, we return to those verses from earlier on. And in a moment or two, I'm going to ask us, as we enter into communion, to say out, to read those words together. But before I do that, I'm just going to invite you to quietly read them through yourself, after which I'll lead us as we read them together and move into communion. So let's read these words together. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. And so, Lord, we pray that you would guide us through the power of your word, your love, your faith, your sacrifice, your resurrection, your friendship. And Lord, we remember at this time that you have said that greater love has no one than this, than they lay down their life for their friends. And Lord, we look to these emblems, to bread and to wine, and they affirm that you call us your friends. You call us your friends, and for that we are deeply thankful. So, Lord, as we take off the bread that speaks of your body that was broken for us, and as we take off the cup that speaks of your life shed for us, we're asking that you would affirm us in all goodness, that you would forgive us, Lord, where you would restore us into friendship with you. For we would ask these things in the mighty and the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen.